We need to confront a culture that isn't walking in the truth, but walking rather in falsehood. We need to confront them with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of what God would call us to do. Bring back now to verse 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. The verse ends. Paul reminding the people that when he's with them, he taught the word of God, the whole counsel of God. He taught that publicly, and he taught that from house to house. He taught it publicly. He was not hiding in the shadows. For 3 months, he proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue. For 2 years, he proclaimed the word of God in the hall of Tyrannus. All were welcome. All were encouraged to hear the word of God. And he also taught it from house to house on a personal level. When we were looking at Acts chapter 19, Paul's ministry in Ephesus, we talked about his schedule. The impression we get is that he would spend every morning working with his hands. He mentions that in the end of our address we're looking at now. Working with his hands. And then at 11 o'clock in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon, he would teach in the hall of Tyrannus. And then in the evening, he would go from house to house and continue to share and teach and minister to the people. Paul taught publicly. Paul taught house to house. Christian truth is public truth. It's something we are to be ashamed of. Nothing we're to be ashamed of. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The word of God is to be open and above board. You know, there's dangers, really, in allowing our Christian truth to simply become a private truth. In fact, this is getting back to the notion of our culture being countercultural. One of the things that our culture wants to see happen is that they want your religious beliefs, your moral beliefs, to be seen as private. You can believe anything you want. But if it touches upon religion or ethics, you need to keep that private. That's not public truth. The gospel, the word of God, is public. It has truth for all people. Universal application must be a priority in all churches and all church leaders. In fact, remember back in Acts chapter 6, when we see that story of the church growing in its influence and growing in its ministry, and the apostles came to the church and says, choose 7 men from amongst yourselves to take over this task of ministering to the needy. Why was that? Well, let's read verse 3 and 4 back from Acts chapter 6. Brothers, the apostles say, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The priority for the apostles was the ministry of the word and prayer for the saints. But the whole church was to focus both on meeting the needs of the needy as well as preaching the word. They go together. We cannot be just a church that cares for people and meets the needs of people, although there are some churches who have kind of leaned in that direction, where their primary focus is just to minister the needs of others. The early church, as we saw here in the opening verses of the book of Acts, was a priority on prayer and the ministry of the word as well as meeting the needs of the community. Verse 21, Paul continues, I have declared both to Jews and to Greeks that they must turn from God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. I like the way the New American Standard translates that same phrase, solemnly testifying. Solemnly testifying. The word there that's being used for Paul's proclamation is the word for proclaiming, for announcing. In fact, one of the, I think, most illustrative words is a herald. A herald. A herald is someone who proclaims, an important person coming. In times past, if the king were coming to town, or in the Roman Empire, if the emperor was coming to town, a herald would go out ahead of time and blow the trumpet and announce the coming of this person of great importance. The herald would also be the one to go and proclaim the message of the king. Hear ye, here's what the royal decree is. Here's what the king says. And that herald would announce the message of the king. The herald himself didn't craft the message, but he was responsible to proclaim that message, to announce that the king was coming, or to announce that the king has a proclamation to make. And that's how Paul saw his own ministry. He was announcing the coming of the King of Kings. He was announcing the message given to him by the King of Kings. J.I. Packer, important theologian of our time, wrote this about the Apostle Paul and him being a herald for the gospel. G.I. Packer writes, Paul, in his own estimation, was not a philosopher, not a moralist, not the world's wisest man, but simply Christ's herald. Christ's herald. Paul's royal master had given him a message to proclaim. His whole business, therefore, was to deliver that message with exact and studious faithfulness. He added nothing, he altered nothing, he omitted nothing. Paul was a herald. We, likewise, are to be a herald, announcing the coming of the King of Kings, proclaiming the truth of his message to all. Paul proclaimed this message to Jews and to Gentiles. He proclaimed it to all people. This speaks to the inclusive nature as well as the exclusive nature of the gospel message. There's often a debate about inclusivism and exclusivism. Well, the truth is, the gospel is both inclusive and exclusive. How is it inclusive? Well, it's inclusive because it includes all peoples. The Jews, the Gentiles, the slave, the free, men, women, rich, poor. The gospel is inclusive in that it is a message for all people. But the gospel also can be seen as exclusive. Exclusive in its claims. From Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So salvation is available to all peoples. That's the inclusive nature of the gospel. But it's only available in the name of Jesus. That's the exclusive nature of the gospel. Paul was proclaiming the gospel to Jews and Greeks. What exactly was he proclaiming? We see that in the latter part of verse 21, that we must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance is a recurring theme through the book of Acts. We've seen it so many times. Back at the very beginning, Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter is proclaiming a message of the gospel to that first crowd of people that were drawn to the believers when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter began to proclaim to the crowds of Jerusalem that were drawn to the believers. He says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out." And then later on in chapter 5, Peter is before the Sanhedrin, defending his preaching of the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 5, verse 31, describing Jesus. God exalted him to his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Later on, we see Peter confronting Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. He says to Simon, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord, if possible, the intent of your heart would be forgiven you." And then, after the story of Cornelius, where the gospel goes to the Gentiles, and Peter goes back to Jerusalem to defend the proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles. It's described this way: when they heard how God had given the gospel to the Gentiles, they were silenced and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life." We saw in Acts chapter 17, Paul's words to the philosophers there on in Athens, on Mars Hill, where he tells them that in the past, God had overlooked their times of ignorance, but now calls all men everywhere to repent. When we looked at that back in Acts chapter 17, we noted the importance of repentance and what that means. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of thought, a change of action. It's a turning around. It's different than simply being remorseful. I should be remorseful of my sin and continue in my sin. I'm so sorry for offending you and then offend you again. Repentance is a change. But notice here that repentance is only the first half of the process. With repentance, we have this turning in faith to the Lord Jesus. Later on, Paul will write in the same church, the church of Ephesus, the importance of faith and the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, a very popular passage, where it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourself, it is a gift from God. That is the gospel, that we are able to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus, and his work upon the cross has its effect upon our lives. Repentance and faith, they go together. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him." Paul is there proclaiming the gospel. Again, verse 20 and 21. "You know that I did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you, profitable for you, but have taught publicly and from house to house." That was the example that Paul gave. "I declare to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." verses 18 and 19 describe the person of Paul. Verses 20 and 21 describe the message of the Apostle Paul. And that was the example he gave to us. We need to walk as Paul walked, walking in humility and in tears and in service to the Lord. We need to proclaim and share. We need to be that herald that the Apostle Paul was, proclaiming to everyone the repentance and the faith that will bring about the salvation that Jesus gave to us. Not hesitating in public and in private to share the words of the gospel, the word of the Lord. May we be of like mind and like example as the Apostle Paul, both in person and in preaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us, for the gift of our salvation, help us to be an example to others as we follow the example of Christ. Let us be in our person one who walks faithfully in the Holy Spirit. Let us be in our words those that would proclaim the whole counsel of God to all who would listen. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.